Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahana Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
G. Smartas enjoy prasadam and charanamrita, whereas the Vaishnavas respect these sacred items. Right? It's not that the Vaishnavas don't, you know, find pleasure in taking prasadam and charanamrita. The point is it's not the goal. Right? The goal is to please Krishna. And so therefore, as a side element, then one has prasad. Mm. Right? And so the point is it's Krishna, so that relationship then is very nice. Mm. But them, it's that I've done my worship, I've got my results, here's the results, the prasadam, now I enjoy that prasadam. Does that make sense?
Very much.
Yeah, so in other words, you're doing that to, you're worshiping the Lord as a means to enjoyment. So there'll be the immediate of the results of the worship and the long term of, you know, elevation of the heavenly planets, liberation, those kind of things. Does that make sense? Well, for us, taking prasadam is still part of the process. Mm. Right? It means we've done this, and so part of the process is taking prasad. So it's all different ways in which you serve Krishna. Does that make sense? H. Though the smartas accept initiation from a guru, they do it out of social custom and no regard for his qualifications or the seriousness of the vows of initiation. The smart, the disciple, keeps the guru as a pet, and the guru keeps the disciple as a means of maintenance. Right?
So what for Swami?
Means this? Yeah, no, these are all things he's pulling out. Yeah.
Sounds like him.
Yeah. And I'm just, how do you call it? What do you call it? The natural, what is it called? Symbiotic relationship. You know? Like that. So each one is happy, right? So in other words, it's because they're born in that family, so they're automatically supposed to be qualified just by birth. So therefore, it's not a matter of that they're qualified, that's why they're taking initiation. No, that should be a Brahmin, you know, like that. So therefore, then they're taking initiation. So it's not actually for the purpose of self-realization. Mm-hmm. Right? Because their point is by my endeavor, I will get the results. Does that make sense? Right? So this is the difficulty. Right, so yeah, it means is that, you know, he's my guru and everything, and you can tell everybody else how he's great, and you know, you have a pro, bring him to the pro. You know, it's a whole thing, show off the guru because he's yours, right? You know what I'm saying? You can say, no, but it's about the guru. It's just like you have a fancy car, right? You know, so you're showing off your car. Right, well, why is the car special? Because it's your car. Right? If it's someone else's car, do you want it to be shown off? No, because it's your car. That's why it's shown off. Right? Yeah. And then the guru keeps the disciple as a means of maintenance. Right? So that's not the point. Is that it just naturally happens by association, then as a reciprocation, then, you know, things are exchanged. Does that make sense? But that's not the reason for it. But if it's done as a reason of maintenance, you know, that's how you do. That's the family business. You grow up. Now the son grows up, now he starts taking disciples, now they start giving money, and this way he can maintain himself, then that's not the actual purpose. For the smarta, dharma is a matter of bodily identification and activity. Vaishnavas understand his devotional service to Krishna, the sadharma of the soul. Right. So this is an important aspect, is that the how you say? Yeah. Well, and the last one is also the whole thing is, oh, it's that, you know, the gurus are getting money or they're getting maintenance, you know, like that. Oh, they can take care because they have disciples. These are all smarta considerations or karmakanda considerations. I mean, because you can come up with any kind of consideration, right? Does that make sense? It doesn't matter. It means whatever you can think, you can feel, because I thought it, it's authorized, right? I'm a devotee, you know, and so therefore whatever I think is automatically devotional. Does that make sense? So we always have to be very, very careful about this. Because these kind of considerations, we have to see what's the basis. Because otherwise it sounds nice. Yes, you know, they shouldn't be doing for maintenance, but are they doing for maintenance? You're just blankly saying that they're doing it for maintenance, right? So the smartas we know are. Vaishnavas, that's not the position. Right? So, okay, now about the Dharma as a matter of bodily identification is because we're smarta, therefore we do these things. Right? If we're not smart, we don't do these things. You know, it's like every country has their things that they do. Right? Does that make sense? You know, New Year's, you have to go out and you know, be crazy all night. You know, and in the morning, you know, whoever looks the worst had the best time. Right? You know? Is that you know, so, but that's an identification. Because if someone didn't do that, you know, oh, so what did you do for New Year's? So I went to bed at 8:00. What? How can you say, what's the big deal? You know what I'm saying? So it's a matter of identification that you have to do these things. Is that yes?
So even though we don't have this identification as smart as, sometimes those thoughts in our mind, actually.
Of course, all of these smarter things are things that the neophyte has to beware of. Because basically speaking, at best, what's a smarter? A neophyte. You understand? Because otherwise, if they were a madhyama, you wouldn't call them a smarta. Right? Because the point is they're controlled by that. So these will be things that devotees have to watch out for, but it's not necessarily that they're a major issue. You know what I'm saying? Is that generally the smartas have all these issues. That's what qualifies them as a smarta. But if you just have, as we go through these, oh, you know, I have a problem with that or this, you know, here and there. That's just, you know, the residue of having been in the material world for a long time. Right? So therefore the devotees have to know, so you know what's the difference. But you have to know what's smarta. Right? Because as we notice here, it hasn't said that they do rituals, that's what makes them a smarta. So far we haven't come across that. You know? But generally we'll take, oh, if someone's into ritual, he's a smarta. But that's not the definition of a smarta. Smarta is that he does the rituals for the purpose of getting the fruit of benefit. And he thinks that because I've done the ritual, therefore automatically I deserve the benefit. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Right? So that's the difference. Mm-hmm. So even our idea of when we call a devotee a smarta, we don't even have that right. You know, you have to actually have enough education to be able to. You know, it's like, what was it? There was that, I think I mentioned before, that one French swordsman. He had a huge nose, like that. And everybody would joke about his nose. So he went into one of the inns once, and some, you know, guy who knew a bit about fighting, because as soon as you know a bit, then you become arrogant. So then he saw him, and he made some joke about his nose. And so then he said, you know, that's all you got, you know, says, you know. And then the man himself with the nose, he gave so many things that you could have said, you know, like that. You know, says, you know, you're saying this, but I mean, that's not very intellectual. That's not very thoughtful. Now you take that and, you know, take this and expand that or expand this. Then you have something interesting, right? You know, and then after saying all that, then he challenged him to a duel and killed him, right? So, but the point is if you're going to do it right, you know? So the point is you have to have some knowledge to be able to actually call someone a smarta. So you have to know what is smarta. So the point is we don't, for amongst Vaishnavas, we won't call it smarta. We'll just call it anartas. Mm-hmm. Right? But for them, the anartas are the identity. Mm. Right? That's what makes them a smarta. is that we follow all these rules, you know, and we follow it with the wrong consciousness, right? So, and we're proud, right? You know?
They don't say that?
No, I just said wrong and proud, right? You know, it's like that, you know. So, yeah, that's smart to march, you know.
It's Washington.
Yes. So, it's a bodily identification that they're doing this. They're doing this because we're smartest, therefore we do this. Not that doing this pleases the Lord. That's the difference. So the devotees do it as devotion to the Lord. It's sad-dharma. We're servants. Because we're servants, that's why we're doing this. Right? Does that make sense? We follow the rules because that pleases Krishna. It's not that following the rules is the smarta. It's why you're following the rules. You're doing it to please Krishna, or you're doing it simply as an identity. Right? Means that's why the Varnashram system is there, is because sometimes just to follow it, you need to fall back on identity. Right? You know, as a devotee, we don't do this. Well, why don't we do that? Because it doesn't please Krishna. But the only reason I'm not going to do it is because we're a devotee, we're not supposed to do that. Right? But if we don't identify like that, then it's like, oh, what does it matter? You know, we're devotees, we don't care. But then, are you not caring for Krishna? Right? We chant, we don't care for the rules, so we're doing that for Krishna? How is, I don't care for the rules, what's the devotional aspect? You understand? It's simply negative. I don't care for the rules. Right? Where's the remember Krishna part? Right? And why is it I don't care for the rules? Has that got something to do with forgetting Krishna or remembering Krishna? Do you understand? It sounds good. So many things that are said sound good. That makes sense. But we have to be very careful. It's just because it sounds good doesn't mean it is good. Right? Right. So the point is, we understand that the ritual is to express devotional service. Because otherwise, how are you going to express your love for Krishna? You know, go do a very perfect, you know, headstand in the middle of the temple for Krishna or something like that.
Good work.
Yeah, good. Like that. You know what I'm saying? So, how do you know what to express? That's why the ritual is there. You know what I'm saying? The Lord likes to sit down and eat, right? He likes to wash his hands, mouth, and feet beforehand. We may or may not like to, but he does. Right? Then there should be something to eat and something to drink. Novel idea, right? Most places you go, they give you food, nothing to drink. You know, there's a glass there, because somehow it's a ritual. There must be a plate and a glass. But what the glass is for, hey, who knows, you know? You say something, oh, yeah, we got some. Well, yeah, good. You know, it's just, you know. So that's so it's food and drink, right? It means it's an old, I mean, maybe white devotees, because it's archaic, right? You go into some place for food and drink, you know, like that. So it's an old thing, you know? So it's like, you know, now new, and now it's just this, it's food, right? No drink, right? You know, so... Yeah. So then after that, then he eats, and then he again washes his hands, mouth, and feet. Also a novel idea, right? You know, so he likes to do that. And then afterwards, then there's, you know, the garland, chandan, things like that. That's after the food, not during. How do you eat with a garland around your neck? Every time you lead forward, then, you know, your garland goes into the prasad. But somehow another, no, you're supposed to do it. No. If you want to give before, then give afterwards also. You know, have two garlands. Yeah, you understand? If it's a big program, they're coming to the program. If it's for prasad, then it's a... You just have to understand what are the things. So that's why they're done. So we don't know all these things. So that's why then you have all the rituals, the Idamasanam, Swagatam, so all these different things, so that all that is done properly. Right? Because we don't know how to receive a guest. So therefore, then the ritual shows how to do it. Right? We wouldn't know when you're supposed to eat. Right? Most places, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning is the first time you eat. Right? And that, and when? Have you taken a bath yet? Not necessarily. Right? So therefore, Krishna gets up, Brahma Muhurta, takes his bath, does all his sadhana and all that, and after that, then he eats. Right? Bath, then eat. Right? And eat's not in bed. Right? Sleep is in bed, bath is in the shower, eat is somewhere else. Right? Huh?
Not in the shower
either. Right? I mean, I've seen some of these, you got these, you know, really high-end bathrooms and stuff like that. You know, they have chairs and the whole thing, reading lamps. You know, it's just, it's a nice place to hang out. You know, it's a toilet, but they love to hang out there, you know? You know?
My grandfather, he had a phone.
A phone, okay, yeah. You can sit there, call all your friends. You know, it's the whole thing. You know?
And in America, I have seen they have carpets, like animal carpets, which sticks out, so it's soft to go there.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's always, I mean, it's just whatever you can put there to make it better. You know, you just turn your, just put, you know, just put a toilet and then, and a what do you call it? A bathtub in your living room. You know, hey, that would be the most best, you know. You know? Plus, you can watch TV, you know, like that. The kitchen's there, you can sit there, they can give you something to eat. You know, it's a whole thing. You know?
That's the Chinese kitchen. We discussed.
That's another thing. We won't get into that. Okay. That one's too far gone.
Okay.
Yeah, but. Is this make sense? So that's why the rituals are there, because we don't know. So it's not a matter of just giving up the rules. The point is yes, it's about devotion, but you want to make sure that your expression of devotion actually is full. Right? If you can do it without, because the point is now why it means, one, we're saying they should be done, but at the same time there's a warning about thinking that that is the pleasing of Krishna. Therefore, there's examples where Krishna goes out of the way. It's not just that suddenly happened. It's another day in Dwarka, and, you know, as if there's another day. But, you know, another day in Dwarka, and just somebody happened to feed him banana peels instead of the bananas. They were in such ecstasy. No, Krishna went out and specifically went to that devotee's house. Right? It's a whole chapter in the Krishna book. Right? He went to their house, and then they're so ecstatic, and they had nothing else in the house to eat except bananas. Right? He's a poor Brahmin. And he fed, you know, and him and his wife are peeling the bananas and giving Krishna the peel and throwing the bananas. They're so in ecstasy, they're not noting. And Krishna's happily eating the banana peels. So therefore, it's not just that it's the ritual. It just shows what's the standard. But the point is the devotion. So if the devotion is overwhelming and someone's not following, then that's not a worry. You understand? So therefore, it's a matter of introducing all these different rules to enhance the already proper mood. But if the mood's not there, you introduce them so that there's a form to express it through. Does that make sense? So there has to be that balance. Because for every rule one way, then there's the explanation in the other to make sure it's balanced. Right? Okay. So as smart as it's not balanced. It's,
yes.
J. Smartas value Tulsi Devi as a plant of medicinal value. They usually hide their Tulsi neck beads, wearing them openly only on ceremonial occasions. Sometimes they treat Tulsi with great ceremonial pomp, but only to advertise their own apparent piety. As a part of this exaggerated piety, they offer Tulsi leaves at the feet of the Guru, though Tulsi should only be offered to Krishna's lotus feet. Right? You don't make the decision. He's representative of Guru, but he's only representative. There's certain things you just don't do. Like that. They think that by dropping Tulsi leaves on any preparation, even fish, it becomes automatically acceptable to the Lord. Right? So here we've come, you know, kind of, how you say, you could say is that this one comes a little bit more to the Bengal side. The other ones would be more all-inclusive, but this would be more the Bengal side. Because you don't hear in South so much of the smart as eating fish. But on this side, yes. Like that. Does that make sense? So, no, in other words, that proper, Tulsi is just an aspect of the ritual, right? You have the medicinal aspect, means it is the most, you know, your best medicine is there, but that's not the real point of Tulsi. The point of Tulsi is that by worshipping her, you please the Lord and get prema, right? So, worship of Tulsi, Giriraj, the dust of Vrindavan, Jamuna, these things can give you prema, right? This kind of association worship can give you prema. So that's the interest. But for them, it's just part of the ritual. So that's another weakness. So already the deity has been relegated to that. You know, the marks of the Vaishnavas, then the Tulsi. Does that make sense? Guru. Does that make sense? So the Shastras also, we'll get into that, but the point is it's just about the Karmakanda. It's not about devotion. So we see this, all aspects are followed, but they actually don't have the proper attitude. Because they don't have the proper attitude, with time, they develop some strange practices. Yes?
So as devotees, we don't drink this tulsi tea? Because we worship tulsi?
Oh, the point is if it's offered and it's tulsi, then how do you make tea?
Well, they just sell it in boxes.
Oh, they just sell it. Okay. Yeah, it makes money, right? You know, money's the honey. You know, they sell the honey also, they're going in the thing like that, so they'll trade one honey for the other honey, right? Tulsi is used in medicines, but then the point is the medicine is offered to Krishna. So in other words, you're taking tulsi that hasn't been offered, making a medicinal preparation, that preparation is being offered. See, that's one thing. The other thing is then taking prasad and then making tea. Does that make sense? Because if you're simply looking at medicinal value, you could take the leaves and soak them in water, not necessarily hot water. And if you leave them for a while, you're going to get the medicinal benefit. But generally, it's we like tea. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So it's just a matter of the proper consciousness. Because it's a delicate thing. You have the right understanding, it can be used. You don't, then it's a problem. You know? You know, in other words, you get to taste it back, hey, come sit down, you know, drinking tulsi tea, hari bao, you know, it's like that. You know, it's a tea party. Right? So you have the British tea parties and you have the Boston ones. So you have to, you know, it's just, yes.
Maharaj, you said before, if someone then has the full expression of devotion, and then the rituals become secondary.
The rituals are always secondary. That's normal. It's not that by becoming secondary they become necessarily any less practiced.
Right.
All we're saying is overemphasizing the need of the practice, but overemphasizing the devotion has to be balanced. Point is it's all the devotion is primary. The ritual is always secondary. But the point is the rituals are how you express the devotion.
It's not that they become reduced at any point.
But what do you mean by any point? What I joined yesterday and then today I reduced them.
What I mean to say is that it's a danger for someone who perceives that he's expressing this full expression of devotion and then decides to, you know, not to do certain practices.
But why would he decide not to do? What's the point?
Because he thinks he's advanced enough.
No, but what does advancement got to do with not? Does Mother just show to feed Krishna at every opportunity she can get?
Yeah.
Okay, now is she advanced?
Yeah.
Okay, so she's still feeding Krishna. Come back after another eternity, she'll still be feeding Krishna. Leave it another eternity after that, still she'll be feeding Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So the point is it's a matter of expression. So if you don't follow the rule, what's the expression?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a medium.
It's a medium. So the thing is if expression is going on in a simplified ritual, fine. But just because I'm advanced, I don't have to follow the ritual. What does that got to do with Krishna consciousness? Where is the Krishna consciousness? That's what I'm saying. It sounds good. But where in, you know, I'm advanced, I don't have to worry about the ritual. Did Krishna feature in that sentence? No, who is feature? Myself. Right? And I don't do the ritual because I'm advanced. How does that happen? You know, it's Thursday, so New York. You know, what has it got to do with anything? You know what I'm saying? So the point is if one is advanced, one is absorbed in Krishna, and when the rules naturally become simplified, then that's fine. But it's not because I'm advanced, I simplify the rules. It's not a thought process. It's just it naturally happens. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So it's understood that the rituals will be more attractive when one's younger. And that when one's older, it may not be. You know, but older generally means, you know, in the vanaprastha age. Right? Like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because after, you know, sometime after 50, you know, just walking in a straight line is a challenge. You know, turning a corner without falling over. You know, so therefore all the different things and all that become a problem. While you're young, you run around, get everything, put it all there, it's all happening, it's all, you know, going on. When you're older, you're just happy that you could actually just sit down, you know, and then after that you could get up again, you know, it's like, you know, so you're doing okay, you know. So there's, you know, you go to sit down and then you find that there's no asan, you know, you're not about to get up again and go look for it, because that might take you 10 minutes and, you know, about 3/4 of your energy. You understand? So it's just natural that these things become reduced. But if you're young and reduce it, then what's the meaning? Does that make sense? Yes?
Yes.
Back to the Tulsi tea question.
Tulsi tea.
Like it
sounds good, right? Tulsi tea, right?
It's an offense against the Dom to profit off of it. Is it an offense to profit off of something like Tulsi? I mean, like industrial farming, mass scale growth.
But I mean, what would be the point?
To profit.
Yeah, but for who?
For the individual.
And who is that individual?
Material body and mind.
No, but I'm saying, what is their situation? See, where devotees would get the idea, there's a gurukul, it's called Kangri. Mm-hmm. They, you know, it's out there, it's one of those old ones, you know, I think it's on the Ganga. And, you know, old ashram and, you know, brahmacharis and that. One of their main elements is Ayurveda. So in their sadhana, part of it is the learning of Ayurveda. You know, different gurukuls, they may emphasize different things. So the Ayurvedic aspect is there. They make the tea. So where will those profits go?
Back to the ashram.
Right. That you don't hear of a grihastha business that sells tulsi, not in the traditional sense. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. So the thing is the idea is that, okay, it's like, okay, we'll follow a process of logic here, and you see if Gotama would approve. Okay, doing Sankirtan, you know, and so then you add to the Sankirtan the book distribution, because that's the Brihad Mardanga. So in distributing the books, you make money, right? And so, and that's part of the Sankirtan. So therefore, anything that makes money is Sankirtan. Right, and so that's what I did in the temple. Now I just do the same Sankirtan in my house. You understand?
Yeah.
That's the pattern that the logic is going on. So the point is who's going to get the benefit of that? Otherwise, then it is you're making profit off Tulsi. So what are you doing? What are you doing for Tulsi? You know, does that person like seriously worship Tulsi? Is a great devotee of Tulsi? I mean, what is there? Or is that something that's being done and then that's used for temple projects? Mm-hmm. But if it's just you to take care of the family, then how what's the benefit?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So one has to be very, very careful in all these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just, I'm a devotee, I can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
No, if you're a devotee, then you'll do things that please Krishna. You know, you say, oh, it's devotional, but the point is then if it's devotional, then where's the money going?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's somehow or another going, you know, being put on the countertop at the reception at a hotel in the Bahamas, it may not be as devotional as one would like to project it as.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So one has to be very, very careful in these things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because then even there, it's Tulsi, the tea. So if that's the point, is that Tulsi is the medicine, then, but she is all medicine. So why aren't they using it for everything?
Mm-hmm.
It's only when they want some tea, you know, just a hot drink or feeling a little cold. But anything can be cured.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Point is she's the lord of the forest, right, Brinda? So that means all the herbs that are in the forest are under her control.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So she's the supreme herb,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, some people would say there's another is the supreme herb, but the point is Tulsi is the supreme herb. Okay?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah, so one has to be very careful in considering all these things, that the whole thing works out, balances. Mm-hmm. It's not just an automatic where a devotee can do anything. It makes money, but the point is you can make money off the deity also, but we don't do that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So there's things that we just generally don't do.
Same applies to the books.
means Prabhupada mentioned about Grihastha selling, doing Sankirtan with the books, and then keeping money from that. You know, so the temple gets their money, and then they get, and then like that. So then that's fine, because then it is there, because book distribution is such that you still have to be quite devotional to be able to do it. You know? Does that make sense? You know, in other words, it means a second-hand car salesman is good at his job, but it's because he makes a good profit, right? You know, he bought the car for $100 and sells it for $1,000. That's why he's doing it. But when, you get the book for $10, sell it for $15. You know, how long will that second-hand car salesman do that, right? So therefore, the ones that are still doing it now, then that generally means that there's some devotional quality there. Like that. So then that's fine because of that element there. But that's been authorized. But the Tulsi tea, you have to be a little more careful about it. So. Okay. K. Smartest cherish all sorts of mundane ideas about the Vaishnava scriptures. They agree with the Vaishnavas that it is a good thing to memorize Srimad Bhagavatam, because then one can make money by Bhagavat Saptaha recitations. They understand the Bhagavad Gita to be a blend of different religious concepts like karma, gyan, mystic yoga, and bhakti, or a book on war, politics, impersonalism, and social liberation. Yeah. Like that. So they get all these. In other words, it's just mental speculation, because the goal is not to please Krishna. So therefore, as they're Brahmins, so generally speaking, they'll tend to be more intellectual. Right, so then they will take these things and speculate on it. And whatever is their particular material values, that they'll bring out. So whether it's karma, gyan, mystic yoga, bhakti, then they can speak on that. If you're being a little more, the other elements, impersonalism, politics, wars, social liberation, anything you can get from there. Point is it's the ABCs of spiritual life. Mm-hmm. Spiritual life is the complete human existence. Now, smartas follow human existence not to please Krishna. Mm-hmm. So that means all the dharma, artha, kama, and moksha are being done according to the principles of bhakti, but without bhakti. Right? Being so used to that, then we'll think bhakti is something else. So, okay, because all these activities, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, these are all the mundane, so spiritual has to be something else. Mm-hmm. No, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha are actually part of the devotional process. But we're not doing it for those, we're doing it to please Krishna. These are just side things that come. Let us say I cook potatoes and offer it to Krishna. What's my result that I get?
Cooked potatoes.
What if I cook cauliflower and offer it to Krishna? What'll I get?
Cooked cauliflower.
Okay, so that's the point. You do something, the physical activity, what will you get?
Physical.
A physical result. Mm-hmm. Right? You do an emotional activity, you get an emotional result. Intellectually, you get an intellectual result. But the point is it the potatoes that's important? Or is it the prasad that's important? Right? It's been offered to Krishna. The remembrance of Krishna. So the point is the physical, mental, intellectual results that you get, or even spiritual, it's only the important element is the aspect connected to Krishna. Does that make sense? That's what we're looking for. And then the other things come as a side. So if they come, nice. If they don't come, we're not worried about it. Right? Means in other words, we cook for Krishna, we offer to Krishna, we please Krishna in this way. And then, while we were washing the pots and all that, the brahmacharis came along, saw the plates, stole all the potatoes, and, disappeared. And then when we come back, there's no prasad. Okay, but it's not that, well, hey, I worked so hard, where's my results? No, your results are the spiritual pleasing Krishna. You understand? So that's why dharma is not to be done for material benefit. Like, I'm doing this, I'm a devotee, all this, why am I having so much trouble? Why are the devotees don't? Why don't I don't have a big position? Why aren't I rich and famous? Like that. But then that's karma. So it means you can get those things from it if that's what you want. But maybe you're not getting it. One is, so either you weren't interested in devotional service, so Krishna didn't give those to you because he knew if he didn't give those to you, you'd go away. Because otherwise, how do you go away without a good excuse? Right? It can't be, you know, you talk to a person who's not really involved in Krishna consciousness. Well, why aren't you involved in Krishna consciousness? Oh, you know, because I'm just so uncultured. I'm so attached to the material. I've become so distracted by it that, you know, it's just that I just couldn't absorb myself in Krishna consciousness because I'm such a gross materialist. Right? Isn't that the standard answer you get? No. Right? It's got to be some fault. The fault's always a mundane fault from a mundane perspective. But Krishna, you want to go away. Krishna gives you the opportunity to feel, yes, I'm right in going away. And if you want to stay, then he'll give you all reason to stay. So for one person, by giving them facilities, they stay. And another one, by giving facilities, they go away. By one, another one, by not giving facilities, they stay. Another one, by not giving facilities, they go away. So it's just a matter of whichever is going to work. You want to go towards Krishna. Whichever will make you go towards Krishna, Krishna will do. Whichever you don't want to go towards Krishna, whichever will make you go away, Krishna will arrange. You know, it's just, the point is this. Krishna's in the heart. He simply reciprocates with what we want. We want him. Then that's what you get, but then you have to prove yourself. Krishna is sitting in your heart. What does that mean? Wherever you go, whatever you do, he's there. Okay? How many friends do you have like that? You know what I'm saying?
One. Krishna.
Yeah, Krishna. Okay. Yeah, but you understand? So that's the kind of interaction he's willing to do. So are you willing to reciprocate that? That's prema. Right? Because Krishna loves the devotees. It's not that Krishna has to develop prema for the jiva. He already has that. It's we have to develop it. We're the ones that, you know, have the problem. He doesn't have the problem. Really? That makes sense? Yeah. Yeah. So therefore, this whole idea is a mental speculation, all these different things for all varieties of Vedic or non-Vedic, or, you know, spiritual or mundane, all these different things just to speculate on, that's not important. So, you know, that you could say is more the smarta. You know, so when someone says, oh, but, you know, you should do this, you know, everybody's, you know, how you say it? Say it right then. Equity, fraternity, liberty, right? You know, you say it like this. And then you can say, that's smarta. But we'll say, no, that's modern, that's liberal, that's broad-minded, that's intellectual, that's, you know, refined, that's it. No, that's smarta. Using devotional service for that, that's smarta. That's what the smartas do. You know, not all smart. Most of them are a little bit more pro-Vedic. You know? But, you know, they get into all these kind of things also. Does that make sense? Yes.
So Maharaj, also, for example, it is many smarta who are giving a different translation of Bhagavad Gita in different ways.
Yes, generally that means that basically means who's going to translate Gita, right? Right. Generally, it's going to be some variety of Brahman, right? And generally, it's not going to be sampradayic, right? Otherwise, you know, Ramanuja, Madhva, they've already done it, so why would you do it again? Like we don't translate Gita again. Prabhupada's already done it. Some people like to do it, but hey, we don't do it, right? So, you know, you can do these things. But the point is there's, you know, Prabhupada mentioned there's over 700 translations, so what does that mean? That means 700 smartas translated Gita. That's why they don't have effect. Right? But because it's sampradayic, when you read Prabhupada's, then that has the effect. But otherwise, the other ones, all they do is develop, the cherishment of various sorts of mundane ideas. And you like to talk about this, you know, as Rabindra Sarukrabhu was saying, is that, you know, down in Boston, down the universities, you have these, you know, big PhDs, you know, very, you know, well-known PhDs, you know, in their fields, and they're sitting around and talking Gaudiya philosophy. and analyzing a different word. Well, you think that he meant this, and no, but I think that he thinks that, and like, yeah, yeah, like that. Hey, can you give me another beer? You know, and then, you know, going on like this, and what about this and that? No, but in the Sanskrit, it's this. No, but according to, you know, this one and that book, then it meant this. And, you know, they go on all day like this. That's what they do. Right? And the amazing thing, they get paid for it. Right? So, but whatever it is, this is what they... Okay. L. Smartas take pride in rites of birth, marriage, and death, in the ignorant bodily conception, and thus derive great pleasure or pain from them. Right? So, in other words, a Brahmin is born, you know. What's he know? I can't remember. I just get the melody. Something about glory to the world, the Brahmin is born, you know. Joy to the world. Joy to the world, the Brahmin is born, right? You know, so all these different kinds of things, they go through all these different, the marriage, this and that, because it's on the bodily platform. It's not a matter of someone's born, so now they can perform devotional service, the marriage is there, now the couple can work nicely together in Krishna consciousness. You know, because individually having difficulty, now as a couple they can work nicely together. You know, or death means now you're losing the Vaishnava association. No, it's all just the bodily consciousness. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. They observe Chaturmasi, right? In other words, you know, we always have... Does that make sense? So all these different things we watch out for, but for us it's just little anartas that are there, stumbling blocks from previous, you know, mundane habit, like that. But it's not a focus for us. But for them, it is. You know, it's not. I mean, being mundane, they consider as perfect because Brahmins are perfect. So therefore, they'd be absorbed in the Brahman. What's the Brahman? Is the soul the Brahman? No, the body is. That's the problem. So for us, it's the soul that's the Brahman, because Brahman means one who's interested in Brahman, right? Like that. Then it's just a matter of what dress, therefore, which means of expression you use. Right? Does that make sense? Therefore, a devotee, even he's using, let's say, a shudra means of expression, right? He does his art for Krishna. But still, there it's a Brahmin who's doing that, because otherwise, why is he doing it for Krishna? Because for a shudra, the point is you do, expression is the most important, not pleasing, not doing the work to please Krishna. And the goal is you'll be famous. Does that make sense? It's not about, because you'd say, oh no, it's about the art. You can say that. They'll really try to convince you. But when their fame goes down, that's when they start getting into, you know, intoxication and killing themselves. Right? Isn't it? I mean, that's, I mean, look at it in history. That's just the way it goes. That's artists. Right? Because it's actually about fame.
Fame is the greatest vasutras. Generally famous.
Fame is there. Yeah, it means that's not that others aren't, but that's so prominent for them. Like that. Yes.
Where they found his happiness? Because the practice is so sad, immoral.
Which is?
These Smartas is still, they are the devotees, no?
No, they're not the devotees. Smartas means Brahmins who are following the Vedic rituals but not in devotion to the Lord. So they may look like Vaishnavas, but they're not actually. Because it's not about devotion. They're not sampradaya. Okay. So all we're doing, why this is going through here, because we're dealing with the apasampradaya, so we're starting at the top. The ones that look like they're proper Vaishnav lines, but aren't because of the mentality. Right. And so in this is specifically the Smartas, but as you mentioned before, the caste Goswamis also have a tendency to fall into these traps, though not necessarily as heavily. But they fall into the same thing, because they were bona fide, but then now they've become not bona fide. Now the Smartas are bona fide Brahmins, generally, not necessarily nowadays, but they can be. You can be a Smarta and be a very pukka first-class Brahmin. But they don't understand the perfection of the Brahmin is serving the Lord. So even though they worship Vishnu, they're not doing it to please Vishnu. They're doing it because of the particular benefits of karma and jnana that they'll get from it. Like that. Does that make sense? So the devotees, there may be a slight touch of this, but that doesn't make them a smarta. It just means it's just a habit to do something for a material benefit. Like that. So they just have to be aware. But here the smarta, even though it looks the same, then the mentality is very different. So then knowing that, then the ritual is correct. Now they have to correct the mentality. So then it's just a matter of talking about the mentality. Not that now because they're smart, everything they do is bogus. No, what they're doing, most of the stuff is not bogus. Right? You know, Subhag Maharaj, when he was in London, because he joined in London, he went to school there. He was from Calcutta, like that, but I think he went to college there. So then, when he met Prabhupada, because he's from a very, very high class Bengali family, like that. There's, you know, in the Calcutta aristocracy, that group that he's in, that's the top group, socially the top group. So, and, you know, and you go to the place, super clean, super gentle culture, the language they use and how they do everything. So it means if you go to these kind of people's houses, you just see that there's people cleaning the place all day. That's what they do, morning to night. I think it's the marble palace that gets cleaned 6 times a day. Because if you don't do it 6 times a day, it's here in the middle of Calcutta, it gets dusty, and they don't like dust, right? You know, they're clean. Their cooking is refined, how they serve, how they do everything. It's all first class. So Prabhupada told him, don't forget what your parents have taught you. Meaning, as far as the culture. Now you add to it now the Vaishnava philosophy. Like that. So in other words, if you're dealing with the smart, it's not that they have to give up the Brahminical activities, it's that they have to give up the smarta mentality. Like that. Well, we'll say, no, throw it all out. Like someone joins and they have a Brahmin thread, and they're from a bona fide Vedic line. We'll say, no, yeah, that's bogus. No, it's not bogus, but it's all they get is the Brahma Gayatri. They don't have the other Gayatri. This is not Pancharatri. You know. And the point is, they have that, so they join with that, then they should be chanting that. They're not chanting it, then take it off. You know, and if it's a problem, what did my family think? Keep it in a box, and when you go home to visit, put it back on. Because that's all the more it's worth. But if you're actually chanting the Gayatri, make sure you're chanting it 3 times a day. You know, and all the things that you learned about cleanliness and this and that, maintain them, you know. Yes.
Maharaj, so giving up this smarta mentality would also involve changing the understanding of the philosophy, right?
Because yes. Well, actually adding philosophy, because before that they don't actually have it. Because Vaishnavism is philosophy, everything else is mental speculation.
So once they add to the philosophy, naturally then they would change their mentality.
Yes, means if they're sincere. In other words, if they're following all the smarta rituals, the idea of, you know, proper elevation or that, or they just do it because they know they're supposed to, and then they come in contact with the pure devotees, so then, you know, pure devotion. So therefore, they see that that's actually the purpose of it, and they take it up, then they'll be very nice devotees, very stable, very steady. The ritual, you know, the devotional sadhana will be very easy for them because that is their lifestyle. Right? In other words, the sattvic lifestyle is their lifestyle. Problem is, they don't have the right reason for doing it. But that they're doing it, that's better than, you know, in other words, living a sattvic lifestyle but not knowing what it's for is better than living a rajasic or tamasic and not knowing what it's for.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. But in other words, Vaishnava is very balanced. But we tend to, you know, push it one way or the other. If any of these symptoms are there, oh, totally bogus. No, this part is bogus. The rest of it's okay. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, our potatoes, right? Universal vegetable, right? So, yeah, because if I say portal, it's like, you know, what? Portal? What's that? Or portal, you know, like that. So we'll use potato, right? So then, you go to the market. The guy selling the potato, is he a pure devotee? Is he a devotee at all? Is he living a lifestyle at least in goodness? Is he a nice smarta? You know, Kshatriya? Vaishya? Possibly. If it's his shop. And if it's not his shop, possibly Shudra. Okay, so the point is we'll buy the potatoes from him and that's fine. So we don't think the potatoes because he's bad. No, the potatoes are fine. Everything else is bad. You understand? So the same way as what the smartas are doing, lifestyle, that's fine. But the whole mentality, the reason they're doing it, their whole social, that's wrong. M, they observe chaturmasya for fruit of gain and liberation, not as a means of dedicating themselves to the service of the Lord. Right? So again, chaturmasya, it has all these things. It's mentioned, it's an element of karmakanda. But just like anything in karmakanda, it's actually the activities of devotional service. It's just being presented for those who won't do devotional service, the activities. So at least they'll do the activities by presenting the fruit of gain. Does that make sense? But the point of the chaturmasya is that's a time then when you dedicate yourself more to the Lord by making some sacrifice. Does that make sense? So in the way of lifestyle, sleeping, eating, all these different ordinary activities, those are restricted in some way. Right? Does that make sense? So there's basically like over 40 rules connected with this. Lord Chaitanya's only asked us to follow four. Right, so you say, oh, but that's so ritualistic. No, that's four out of basically about 50 or 60. You know, so you can't call that ritualistic. Does that make sense? Yeah, but that's what they do it for. They'll get the material gain here, or they'll get liberation. But the devotees do it just to please the Lord, and it also is impressive to others. They'll think, oh, these people are very serious. So then. You know, they're sadhus, so they said, so sadhus will hear from them. You know, so there's that benefit. You know, you want to impress the public, you know, do chaturmas. Right? I don't see a whole lot of people doing that to impress the public. Right? Okay. And the smartest idea of gotra, family, is totally mundane. For them, gotras facilitate reproduction of the brahmana community. They intermarry only between select family ties. Which are listed as 829 and up to 3 crore, 30 million. Okay, that's about smartest. So there's 8 million, 29, up to 30 million. Okay. The Vaishnavas know only one gotra, the Chuta gotra, which is Krishna's own transcendental family of devotees. So that's also, when you say Ekavarna, there is one gotra. Because these different gotras are connected with the different lines, because they also are connected with the different varnas and everything like that. So for them, that is just a matter of maintaining the gotra. It's not a matter of that the gotra has any significance. Therefore, you know, if it's such a good gotra, then that means what's the obligation of that? Right? If you're going back to this particular son or grandson of Brahma, you know, and so therefore there's the tradition that goes with that, that why should you be following that? Just for social prestige, or because that's what you do for Krishna? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know, so for us, then it's the siksha line is more important than the, you know, the physical line. Right? So therefore, Narad Muni or Sadashiva will become, the four Kumaras, they'll become more prominent. Though those ones, there's no gotra lines coming down from them, because gotra means they have to be grihasthas and have children, right? Mm. That they say, you know, Shiva does, but then Brahma says, no, it's okay, it's cool, yeah, it's fine, yeah. You want to sit under your tree, do that, yeah, great. You know, you let the others, let them populate the universe, because the 11 Rudras, they were good at destroying the universe. So okay, you know, let them sit with you under the tree also, and then, you know, at the time end of the universe, let them come out and do their job, right? You know, but okay. So Chuta Gotra means that you're connected to Krishna. That's the main point. The bodily conceptual elements are not there. Oh, when smartas visit the holy dham, they follow external rules such as those prescribed in Ashtavimshati Tattva, the 28 propositions, by Raghunandan Bhattacharya. Here it is advised that great piety will be gained by visiting Jagannath Puri on the Snan Yatra day, when its forefathers will be greatly satisfied and sinful reactions eradicated. But there is no instruction on how to satisfy Lord Jagannath on this day and thus advance in devotional service, right? In other words, you see the Snan Yatra, the idea is that those things are there, those rules, because then at least you go and then take part in the festival and things like that out of devotion. You know what I'm saying? It's not just enough that the devotion would inspire you. You need some little bit extra, you know? Does that make sense? But the problem is they go there only because of the benefit that they'll get for themselves and for the family. You know, so the idea of serving Jagannath, that doesn't come into these. The 28 propositions doesn't include devotion to the Lord. Right? Smartas fast and shave their heads in the holy dham because they believe these activities will relieve them from sins and bring auspiciousness. Right? Devotees do it because why are these things there? Because they please Krishna. So they say, oh, but you know, we're just doing, smartas do that. No, no, no. We're the ones that do that. Smartas copy us. Always remember it goes that way. Whatever the Vaishnavas do, that's what Vaishnavas do. But they do it to please Krishna. Smartas do it because of the piety that they'll get from it. Right? Does that mean you go around Tulsi, it will destroy the sins of a Brahmin, right? So they might go around Tulsi to destroy the sins of a Brahmin, not to please Tulsi, not to please Krishna. You understand? It's not that by having less sin, now I'll be able to serve Krishna nicely. It's just a matter of, no, by having less sin, I'll be more pious, I'll get more material benefit. You understand the difference? So that's the point. So worship of Tulsi, that's our thing. They're just copying that. Right? So going to the holy place, shaving, taking bath, associating with the sadhus, that's the Vaishnava thing. But they'll just shave and take bath because of the piety. They're not going to associate with sadhus because then they might have to become devotional. Right? So. They fear that they incur sins by accepting Mahaprasada and the holy dham without first cleaning their mouths. Right? Because the point is because you can't eat without cleaning your mouth. So the point is, let's say, if you're going to say, that doesn't mean, oh, we don't have to clean our mouth, then there's arrangement. This means that you're standing there and just in the crowd, someone comes and gives you prasad. You just take it. You know, you don't sit down to a meal without washing your mouth, hands, and feet. Does that make sense? Yeah, it's a matter of honoring Mahaprasad. That you just take. You don't have to worry about those things. So they think it's the ritual that makes it there. No, it's the Mahaprasad, isn't it? If Mahaprasadam is served by a non-Brahmana, they think it becomes impure. Right? Because in other words, it's all about the Brahman. It's not all about Krishna. Likewise, if Mahaprasadam or Ganga water is transported away from the Dham by train, bus, or car, it loses its potency. Right? Like that. So it's not about those things. Mahaprasad is Mahaprasad. It doesn't matter. If it's transcendental sound vibration, you know, whether it's put into a book or it's an audio, it's still transcendental. It's not that, oh, the medium changes it. Otherwise, it's smart to say the same thing. Right? Just, we never thought of that, you know. You know, the Mahaprasad is going away in a car, we don't think it doesn't. No, but they think like that. Oh, but if the sound is going away in a thumb drive, then it loses its potency. You know what I'm saying? No, it's the same thing. It's a smart mentality. Smartas also engage in materialistic calculations about the relative benefits of visiting one holy place instead of another. You know, it's like we have that, so we'll get more benefit by going here, no, but then that's so far away, and this one's closer, we can get this benefit with this and that. No, but you know what I'm saying. For obtaining a particular boon, they may visit Puri instead of Vrindavan, thinking that Vrindavan is not so effective in satisfying this specific desire. Because right? It's known, different dhams, different tirthas are known for different specific things. All those things are there is to get the materialistic person to do something pious. Right? So now if they're visiting dhams, now if they become a devotee, then visiting dhams is nice. Now they know to do it because it's supposed to be done devotional. Does that make sense? Right? So the point is give up materialistic life, I mean, so you say your non-authorized life and take up an authorized lifestyle. That lifestyle there also is that what's in goodness. Right? Does that make sense? According to authority. Then it should be devotional. So you're taking them through a step-by-step process. So it's slow. But at least if it's there, it means that there's 30 million smartas. That's why you could still go out and buy things like Brahmin threads and Harinam chutters and Achman spoons and that. If there weren't the 30 million smartas there, there wouldn't be any. You understand? It just wouldn't be there. You know, smartas are wearing dhotis. That's why you can still buy dhotis in the market. You understand? So that's the point, is that at least the culture is going on and then the Vaishnavas can use it. Yes.
Do all the smartas acknowledge each other, or do they think each other are bogus? Or?
No, they may not necessarily think that they're bogus. they just think that, you know, they have a social hierarchy, you know, because there's basically four main categories of Brahmins, levels, you know, and then within that, then there'll be basically which one is, you know, by their title, you know, means, you know, your bhattas will be more than just your others, but bhattacharyas are more than the bhattas. You know, and then the gotra you're from, and all these different things. So they'll have so many ways to put it. Just like, let's say, you have the man sweeping the street. So socially, kind of, where is he? Top, bottom? Okay, bottom. Now, but one street sweeper, he's sweeping just in kind of the outer edges of town, and this one, he sweeps the town square. Okay, so he'll be a superior street sweeper to the other guy. So there's always a way to find superiority, you know, like that. Yes.
What the smartas are thinking about the devotees?
Depends. Some may appreciate, and some don't. Like that. But you know, generally it's just seeing them, then you know. They may like it, may not like. It just depends. If they're smartest who are worshipping Vishnu, then they may be more inclined. If they're ones worshipping Ganesh or Surya or Durga Shiva, then they may be less. Especially if they're Durga Shiva, they generally seem to be the most. Ganesh and Surya, that Sauryas, they're generally a little bit more neutral. So then you get that aspect. Does that make sense? But if they hear the philosophy, they may be attached to their impersonalism or karma kanda, so they may appreciate it, so then they move towards the devotees, or then they're wary of devotees. If devotees know how to follow the culture, then they'll appreciate. If they don't, then they'll find fault there. You know, like that. Yes?
How about like in the Puri temple, a lot of their pandas object to Jagannath Rath Yatra being celebrated on the wrong day and in the wrong city all over the world?
What do you mean by wrong city? He's only in New York, Los Angeles, Paris, Milan, you know, like those kind of places. Monte Carlo, okay. Luxembourg, I guess we could get by with. Like that, you know. But Caymans also, yeah. It just means other than yeah. In Puri. But, that's, what's the point? They're saying Jagannath. Lord of the universe, so he's not Lord of New York also? You know? That'll be a smarter conception. That's what we're saying, is that these proper lines of Brahmins, then they can get distracted by these smarter aspects. You know, so it's all bodily and everything. That makes sense.
Just one more question was about Ganga water, when it's filtered, it's said to lose its potency. Is that because of the faulty consciousness of thinking that Ganga can be contaminated?
Yeah, you're thinking it's impure. Because, see, as if you're filtering because there's the fine sand in there, so you don't want that for the puja, because you're offering it to the deities, so you don't want to use that in the drinking or the cooking or the achma. Yeah. So filtering means you're getting the water. You have the pot, you put the cloth over so that, you know, less goes in. Then you let it sit overnight, then you pour off the water that's done. You know, so you do that three times. And so then that water is considered, you know, without all the sand and all that. You know, and you might filter it through a double cloth. You know, if you don't have that, then you just get it filtered through there. It's just to get rid of the sand. It's not to purify. But if you run it through, if you get all the holy tirthas and run it through a reverse osmosis because you don't want the Western devotees to get some weird disease, then that there's not one tirtha in that bottle. Not one. Nothing.
Because they voluntarily...
Because they're doing it because they think it's impure. Yeah. You know, so they'll say, oh, Radhakun, but all that algae and all that... Take regular water, just take it and put it on the shelf. See what it looks like after you come back after some time. Take Radhakund or any of these, put it on the shelf. Years later, it's still crystal clear. Why? Because it is pure. So if you think it's not pure, I'll get a disease. Yes, you'll get a disease. If you understand it's pure, then why will you get a disease? Mm-hmm. Krishna reciprocates however you think. You know, so that's But his point is this, you're following the rules of how to deal. So there's all of those rules on how you deal with the Ganga water. But reverse osmosis isn't one of them. But another kind of benediction, okay. Vrindavan is not so effective in satisfying this specific desire. But another kind of benediction is better sought in Dwarka than at Puri, and so on. So they just go, which one is which. They also believe that there are certain months when it becomes inauspicious to visit a particular holy place. You know, for the smartas, the malamas, that's just, you know, off the list. You just don't do anything. The point is it's so auspicious that it's not even allowed to do any auspicious thing, right? You know, just like an Ekadasi, you're not supposed to do certain so-called, you know, Shraddha ceremonies or this and that, because it's just too auspicious. So then you have a whole month of that. So therefore, there's no times to do any auspicious, you know, ceremony. So marriages, all these other things aren't done in that month. So the smartas will consider it inauspicious. Yes.
Maharaj, like in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, it gives the month when you get the initiation, and there is some inauspicious month. But then there is the rules also later on, which tells that basically you can give initiation, you know, based
yes,
on
but those, that's all connected with the Vedic. Like that. So this means when it comes to transcendental, there's no rules like that. It's whenever you can get it, that's the auspicious moment.
Yeah, that's the last one, which basically after all the
yeah. So in other words, that's all there. Those are the considerations if you're dealing with the Vedic and like that. You know, or for those persons who they have to function in that kind of capacity. Then, okay, then here's these different things. Then, because it's in that month, then they'll consider, oh, this is so, in other words, because they got initiated in that month, that's why it's important, not because they're getting initiated. Right? So, you know, oh yeah, we got initiated this time, it was so auspicious, you know, the planets and that, it's so rare, it only happened, you know, it's just like the Kumbh Mela. It's always nice, but then, you know, every 12 years, and that's nicer than 12 of 12. Somehow or another, every time it's been 12 of 12, you know, like that. I don't know what it is, you know, each one says it's the 144. It's like, because actually, if you go back 144 years, it is 144 years later. Yes, yeah, so. By their highlighting fault-finding ways, smartas simply commit offenses at the feet of the holy name, holy dham, the Vaishnavas, the deity, and Mahaprasad, right? Like that. And as we saw before, also Tulsi. So that's just, they just commit offenses. That's their... yeah, that's their thing. You know, like that. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaur.